Cohen was sitting.
Okay, let's get started. I threw some sources at you guys. I threw some extra sources in there. Not all of them are that important. The Tods and the Rebbe Kiva Eger I thought are interesting. But I want to focus on that. But I showed you guys, for instance, it's an interesting question. When does the Kohen have to be Oker his Raglav? Okay, it's an interesting theoretical question. When is a Kohen, when does he Oker his Raglav? When does he start walking up to the Dukhan? So should he start walking up before Ritzeh, right? Or when after the shot says Ritzeh? Just curious, how would you define that? It's like a nice, simple chakira, I think. Again, the question is, that's one of the sources I gave you, right? The question is that at what point does the Kohen have to go up when does the Kohen Oker his Raglav? Should the Kohen preempt the shot saying Ritzeh and start walking up? So then, as the shot says Ritzeh, he's already on his way up to the front? Or no, he should wait until Ritzeh and then walk up front? So what would you say? What's a nafkamina? Is there such a thing as saying that let's assume you say the Kohen should wait until the shot says Ritzeh. Then he would say, if he's Oker his Raglav before Ritzeh, it's too early. Notice, by the way, I'm trying to push a point here, which is that it seems like there's an actual halacha of being Oker your Raglav. There seems to be an idea that a Kohen should actually leave his place of davening when he's called up, okay? Don't use my line, so I know. So there's one achron who wants to say that the moment they leave to go wash their hands, right, they're technically being Oker Raglav, okay? I just don't think that's in line with the Gemara's means, but you could say that, okay? But I'm just curious, what would you say? But let's assume that's not the case. So what would you say? When should the Kohen go up? Should he go up before Ritzeh, right? Or should he wait until Ritzeh to go up? Let's understand, what do you gain? Remember, we established last time, the Kohen being Oker Raglav is differentiating himself in the Tzibor. He goes up during Ritzeh because Ritzeh is his manavoda. So it makes a lot of sense how the Kohen, who is now going to be engaged in some type of, yes, it is a bracha, but under the umbrella of avoda, that he wants to be on the way there, right? On the way there during the zman that avoda is being recited. Now let's understand. What's the gain in the Kohen now starting right before the shot says Ritzeh? What do you gain by that from a Kohen standpoint? What's the benefit to doing that? To Oker Raglav, to start his way up to the stage, right? Before the shot says Ritzeh. What does he gain by that? Oh, right, okay. It's true. Well, he's going at the earliest spot, right. No, you're right, it didn't exist. I understand it didn't exist yet, but you could say his reason. I know, but I think you can expand that idea a little bit. I think you could say that, you see, because then the Kohen is part of the Kohen is a chelok of every part of the Avoda, right? In other words, Ritzeh, the tefillah of Ritzeh is the tefillah of Avoda. So if the Kohen's already Oker Raglav at the time he starts saying Ritzeh, that means he's differentiating himself as a Kohen through every single part of the Avoda, okay? He does. He starts, and then Shat says Ritzeh. Okay, but if he waited until Ritzeh is said, the advantage of that is that, well, now he has a clear prompt. Like Ritzeh is, now we're telling the Kohanim it's time to come up. The disadvantage is that he's not part of the entire Tefillah Avoda, because there's one word he's missing out on. Ritzeh. Because you won't be Oker. Because that's part of his identity. He's now transition. He's saying, I'm no longer part of the Tzibur. I'm now becoming the Kohen who's going to now do this Avoda. What I want to know now is, we ended off last time. We didn't clarify this, okay? So you have that very counterintuitive thing. This idea that there's three scenarios, okay? Scenario one, standard minyan. 10 people, right? Let's say 8 Yisraelim, 2 Kohanim. Everyone agrees that the Kohanim go up to Duchen and the 8 remain in the audience. And that's perfectly fine. We don't say it's a problem minyan. We say we have 10 total. Good. Second case, right? It's a shul of 15 Kohanim only. So what happens in that case? 5 Kohanim go up, right? And then 10 stay in the, 10 stay in the audience, okay? But if I only have 10 Kohanim, then what happens? All 10 go up and no one stays in the audience. What's going on here? Okay, right. You can argue that... Oh, it's very good. You could argue. I like your premise. I think the premise you guys are saying is a good premise. The premise is that there's, and again, I think it really captures the tension between the relationship the Kohanim have to the Tzibur during Tefillah, right? So everyone would agree that on the one hand, right, before Birkas Kohanim, right, during Pesukei Zimra, right, the Kohanim are different than anyone else in the minyan, right? They're all part of the Tzibur. But we also would agree that when you have a Tzibur, the idea of Birkas Kohanim comes into existence as a chiyuv and potentia, but it's a chiyuv. So now you have these two phenomena, right? You have the Kohanim are definitely part of the minyan, right? You can't say, I'm not going to say Kaddish or Barchu, you count them as part of the minyan. On the other hand, you would also argue that there's a reality that their obligation of performing Birkas Kohanim comes into existence, so to speak, now that you have a minyan together. There's an there's a responsibility the minyan has now to go ahead and make sure Birkas Kohanim takes place. Okay, I don't mean as a technical chiyuv. I'm just saying that in the I see in the future a Birkas Kohanim taking place. Let me just finish. So what you're saying is that now when it comes time for the Kohanim to discharge themselves with the obligation, you have a funny problem here. Because as we've been saying all along, which I think fits in, they are clearly differentiating themselves from the Tzibur, right? They're taking on a whole different role, right? I'll give you an example. Are they now part of Chazarat HaShatz when they're up there duchening? Of course not, because they're talking, right? You can't talk during Chazarat HaShatz. But they're talking. They're saying these psukim, right? So you see that, like, they're no longer naturally part of the Tzibur anymore. But now you have a funny thing. Now that's why this case is such a funny case. Because if you only have, let's say you have 15 Kohanim only, right? So the problem is that now you have a funny thing, right? Let's say that's the case of 10 Kohanim. That's a better one. You guys are saying, good. It's not that you have 10 Kohanim. It's that the problem is that the Kohanim can never exist since once they differentiate themselves from the Tzibor, they can't be Tzibor, right? They have no ability to be Tzibor, right? So that's why if you had 10 and 5, right, you need them to now regroup and reestablish themselves as a Tzibor in order for Birkas Kohanim to function. Which would be 10, right? In other words, it's like a funny idea. Like, in other words, what happens is like, it's like there's two steps. They leave Tzibor to become Kohanim, but now that they realize Kohanim doesn't work, right? Then 10 of them have to go back and sort of reestablish themselves at Tzibor. You can't reestablish yourself at Tzibor without being 10. So I'm saying if you go down that road, you're acknowledging conceptually, so to speak, that there's a moment in time, conceptual time, where there is no Tzibor. Right? You know what I mean? Like, there's a point in time, so to speak, where the minion ceases to exist. Right. I want to clarify. I don't want you to think that, like, it's like a light switch, you know, like, he's a congregant and now he's a Kohen. It's not as black and white as that. What I'm just trying to say is halachically, it would fit into the Gemara nicely to say that what's happening, the Kohanim are in differentiating themselves from Tzibor now, so now there's a problem that emerges as a result of that. But just to add on that point, it's important to emphasize as well, again, let's not get too black and white. When the Kohanim are on the receiving end, which is a very odd thing for a Kohen to receive Birkas Kohanim, but you see, because we have to understand what's their chiyuv, right? Their chiyuv is it's not just to perform Birkas Kohanim, but to ensure, so to speak, that Birkas Kohanim is to take place in the best possible way. So a Kohen could function as a receiver of the bracha because he's bringing about the best possible, expression of Birkas Kohanim. So it's not like crazy for him to be part. Because when we say he's part of the Tzibor, they're creating a Tzibor, that doesn't mean he's still a Kohen, right? And I would even argue, by the way, I forgot to mention this, I even argue that it's not that he hasn't fulfilled Birkas Kohanim, right? Think about that for a second. Think about that. Would you say in the case of 15 Kohanim that the 10 Kohanim would stay behind to listen, have they fulfilled their Chir Birkas Kohanim? What would you say?
No.
Okay, now look where it says, fine, let's just start reading. Perish Rashi. Shekashiyesh. Right, so when there's 10 Kohanim left,
right,
not including the Kohanim are actually duchening, right? Olam good. Yeah. Aval Imein. There's right? So, according to Rashi, what we saw is already, right? Right? There's only 10 that are left, right? We don't say that, three will make the Birkas Kohanim and six will answer, and the other seven will answer. Rather, we say all of them have to go up. Okay, because you'll post game. Right, keep going. Because you'll post game. Shadafka.
Ella in game of him, Sarah.
Right, Sharia Amru. Beautiful, like we've been saying. And the Taz explains why, because of a Taz. Hashem is Barach. Meaning we need to split them up because we need to create an environment of deliverers and receivers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I think that's what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. Rabbi Akiva Iger says, he says, Tama minayin leposkim lomarkin. How could the poskim say this? So he says, the halo efshar lomar she'ein hevdel bein Yisrael and Kohanim. Maybe you could say there is no difference between Yisrael and Kohanim. Ela shedin zeh sheyu asara onim, right? Einu ma'akev, right? Rather, this idea of having 10 listen, it's not ma'akev. V'lachin kash'ein bebeis kinesis ela asara biyachad im ha'kohanim ol mekom adokan. So therefore, if you have 10 people diving together, right, with Kohanim, the Kohanim go up to Dukhan. Listen to this. Let's say you have 7 Yisraelim and 5 Kohanim. Efshar sharak shnei Kohanim olam duchen. Ushlosha Kohanim nisharim imakahal kadesh yuasara onim. Right? Biniach b'tzarachian. So what does he suggest? He suggests that, no. Not like what we're saying. He wants to say that you always need 10 people responding. Always. Always. Oh, that always. Meaning that if you have a situation, that's Rashi's way of learning. He's saying that, just what I read. He's saying that if you have, let's say you have, let's say you have a minion of 7 Yisraelim and 5 Kohanim, he would say that only 3 Kohanim, only 2 Kohanim go up and duchen. Because the other 3 Kohanim stay to make sure you have a minion of answers, okay? So what do you say about that? He's definitely saying to what Avi was trying to push at before, this idea that, that like somehow there's a dual identity that exists in each person, right? And therefore, when it comes time for Birkas Kohanim, so it doesn't mean he necessarily has to actualize that role as being a Kohen. All right. The Gufa, Tana, Abba, what do you call it? Minyamin, Barchia. Go. Ha'am. Am. Am. Okay, so we saw this, okay? Now we're going to investigate this idea. What does it mean to say that if the people are behind the Kohanim, if Yisraelim are behind Kohanim during the Bracha, they're not included in the Bracha? So let's investigate what that means. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Is it Pshita, by the way? Now the Gemara says, Pshita. Yeah, that they're not included? All right, so we said before, what to demonstrate that they're removing themselves from the Tzibor. Right? In other words, by being behind the Kohanim, they're saying we're no longer... We don't want to participate as responders. Fine.
What if that was their seat? So it's not like that.
So the
Arichei.
No. Come on. Go on the Gemara. Let the Gemara talk. What does that mean?
Why?
No, why? Rashi. Oh, no. Rashi doesn't say this part. Oh, Lomasaki. Sorry. Yeah. Bain Kohanim. So what does that mean? Who are these? Who are the Arichei Ba'apei Gutze? They're heavy people, okay? Oh, sorry, tall people. I'm sorry, tall people. They're tall people who are now standing. Let's say they're Davids, okay? And let's say imagine the Kohanim are there, and you got a whole row of Davids, okay? And then you have the rest of the Tzibur behind them. Okay, so now what are you going to say? Right, you'll say lo mafsiki, right? So you can't tell me the Davids are mafsik. What do you call it? Birkas Kohanim. Okay, does that seem like such a crazy possibility?
No, there are tough people in the world.
No. I know, but I'm saying the Gemara makes it sound like it's absurd to ever suggest that if there's a line of just listen, there's a line of Davids, right? That everyone behind would not be included in the bracha. You would never assume such a thing. So now the Gemara then says also as well, right? Gemara says teva. Right, teva. What does a teva mean? The Aron HaKodesh, let's say. You want to see the Aron's a mafsik, right? So mechitza.
Ah, so, okay. So what's the case that's a question? There's everyone agrees that a person is not a mafsik, okay? Everyone agrees that, let's say, the Aaron wouldn't be a mafsik, right? So then what is a mafsik? So there's a question by mechitza. Now, what would mechitza be? So let's say the Kohanim are here, and we set up a row of, let's say, metal sheets, okay? Sheets of metal. What? Yeah, those things. Yeah. Okay. All right, good. So the Gemara says, my, right? So what do we say? Do we say, is that considered a hefsek or not? Okay. Do we say it's not considered a hefsek? Or do we say, no, what do you call it? It's a problem. Or we say it is a hefsek. And therefore it's a problem. They're responsible for getting around the mechitza. So the Gemara says, now you have to listen to the tone. What's the tone the Gemara is saying? When it says afilu mechitza shel barzel, what's he trying? No, what he's saying is that the whole he's not treating the suffix seriously. He's saying, what do you mean? Of course, if I have a line of metal sheets, right? You're going to tell me that's going to stop the bracha from God to Bnei Yisrael? Meaning that he's clearly coming out. He's not. There's usually when you have a suffix in a mahu case. This is a mine, not a mo. But a mo, you'll see like clearly two logical possibilities. But he's coming along and saying, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no. I wouldn't even the havamina of having sheets across the way is not even a strong havamina. Because of course, it's a bracha from God and that can penetrate through any sheets. So what was the havamina then? But this is, let's say a second. Let's set up each question here. Okay, let's go in order. Okay, so the Gemara has, even though the Gemara says pshita, there's a havamina here that you would think that there's a problem if, let's say, Yudi standing behind David, okay, that could be a problem, right? Kamash Malan is not a problem. Then what's the next possible problem? A mechitza, right? Maybe mechitza is a problem. Kamash Malan, that's not a problem either, okay? Okay,